Hi, welcome to another episode of the Autism Everyday Podcast. We are your hosts, Swati
and Geeta. Welcome back. As always, and I think we've said this so many times over, we continue to be in lockdown. But make no mistake, we're working super hard and double time to ensure that you gain access to the very best of evidence-based parenting information, autism-specific information, and lots more.
That's right. Before we go any further, we're going to bore you a little bit about who we are and what we do. So if you're a regular podcast listener, I suggest you skip the next few seconds and go right ahead. So Geeta and I are BCBAs. We run an ABA-based school for children with autism in a sunny seaside suburb in Chennai. We're also ACT practitioners, and we co-founded India's first acceptance and commitment therapy clinic, run purely by BCBAs. We are the epically cool co-hosts of this podcast. And more recently, we co-authored a book on autism in India that will be available globally in stores and on Amazon very, very soon. Okay, so without further ado, let's get started on the topic of discussion today.
Yes.
Making sure my coffee is extra strong for this one.
Right here.
Yeah. Mindfulness. Bam. There you go. So I know the term mindfulness is something that gets thrown around a lot, but the real essence of mindfulness and its implementation in parenting is such an integral part of ensuring that both you and your child live a mentally happy, if I can put it that way, mm-hmm. and a peaceful life. Mm-hmm. So just to give you some background, you know, before we really, you know, speak about mindfulness in everyday lives. If you're geeky like we are, and we're kind of hoping you are, then you'll enjoy knowing the origins of this popular phrase, mindfulness.
Absolutely.
So interestingly, it got its roots in Buddhism around 2,500 years ago, if wow. I've got that number right, you know, give or take. But more recently, this has been scientifically evaluated and researched upon, starting at the University of Massachusetts somewhere in the 70s, the good old 70s, and then sort of spilled over to just about every scientific institution we know. And mindfulness, believe it or not, found its way to clinical behavior analysis in the form of, you guessed it, ACT.
Yeah. So what really is mindfulness? It always brings to mind a peaceful Buddha, right? Sitting in meditation.
With the water. I don't know why, but there's this imagery of water.
Soft flowing water, right?
That's the one.
Yeah. So that's the image which mindfulness evokes in most of our minds. So is it meditation? Do you need
a Buddha
or a little fountain that is gently, turning water round and round? Does it require chanting?
Do you need to do yoga?
Yoga, mm-hmm. So,
okay, I have to say this. Do you need to pray?
Well, no, not necessarily to all of the above, right? None of the above. In fact, none of them at all. Maybe some people embrace one form or the other, but it doesn't necessarily restrict itself and mean just these things. Mindfulness is more a state of being. It's being in the moment and being aware and being able to accept the concoction of emotions that a person feels. Everything from being a very, very happy, cheerful Charlie, to having thoughts that border on glum nostalgia, to extreme sadness, sometimes tears that then change into unbelievable levels of anger and frustration. Mindfulness in so many ways is a moment-to-moment awareness of what you feel and being able to accept those different feelings, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's also a state of being aware of what you're doing at the current moment.
I'll buy that, yeah.
Right? It's what you feel, what you do. Are you and your mind working together, or are you in different places?
Is your shoulder relaxed? Are you, you know, sitting up in a particular way? Are you scratching your chin?
Is your forehead creased because you're thinking about something else while your fingers are working away at the keyboard of your laptop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guilty.
So, So in our practice, we've heard of moms saying, I'd be happy if only my child behaved, or if only he were more polite, or if only he ate his meal by himself. Well, here is the truth that can be definitely be worked on. All of those skills can be and must be worked on, but it cannot be a precondition to your finding a state of mindfulness. That is simply no excuse. And hey, don't think we didn't catch you out on this whole shifting blame thing, right? If you feel angry, anxious, sad, uneasy, nervous, upset, or any other emotion, of course, including happiness, it's all on you.
It's your emotion?
Yeah. And cannot be pegged to somebody else's behavior. And that takes me back to this thing that we all do. When there's something successful, something good, then, hey, I did it.
Uh-huh.
But if something goes wrong, something didn't work out the way you wanted it to, then you're looking for, you know, it's that guy, he screwed it up.
It's not my fault. Circumstances did that to me. I know.
Right? Yeah. So, speaking of, pegging our emotions on somebody else's behavior and so on and so forth, we are often told and conditioned from the time we were very young that things have to happen in a particular way, or that we have to achieve certain things.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Are you referring to the age old?
Yes. What do you study?
Where you study next?
Next. Yeah. What about then the logical progression is you get married.
You pop a kid or two.
Yes. And all of this has to be done because your biological clock is ticking away. And, you know, you cannot be just wasting away your 20s. Finding yourself, right? So there's so many constrictions, restrictions, limitations of what you should do, and it's been so ingrained into all of us to not do something, because then that would be viewed as unacceptable.
And I think this sort of results in in all of us suppressing some thoughts and feelings associated with these events, or feelings that we believe are not okay to be felt.
Yeah, it becomes so innate.
Right? It's a taboo, isn't it?
I cannot feel like this. I cannot think like this. I cannot think of doing this because this is not what my parents have taught me to do.
Oh, this is wrong. I mean, what is wrong, right?
It is wrong.
Okay, that is a huge topic, and I think we certainly have to talk about it another time, and possibly in another podcast channel. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely.
But coming back to clinical behavior analysis, in real talk, mindfulness is letting go of some of those inhibitions and accepting yourself for who you are and not who you think or what you think you are.
That is hard, right?
That is super hard.
Wrapping your head around that is very hard.
Absolutely. And in the process of attempting to be this mindful person, you discover that there are parts of you that you'd want to work on. Maybe some things you'd like to do a little differently. And then you set out those intentions and you attempt to work towards it in a very holistic, yet a very scientific manner. You work on things that bring out socially significant behavior change to both yourself and as a result of that, your immediate environment.
Yeah, absolutely true.
But while you're doing that, I think it's important to point out that you continue to accept certain aspects of who you are, because there are some aspects that are not detrimental to your well-being or to the well-being of your loved ones. They may not be your best qualities,
but we all have them.
But we all have them. Yep.
No one's perfect.
Nope.
So let's draw some comparisons here. If you find your child with autism is engaging in some, very distressing behavior, like hurting you or hurting himself, self-injurious behavior, then it's something you want to address immediately. And of course, in the most scientific way possible. But let's take an example of this same child engaging in some, stereotypy or stimming behavior, maybe talking to himself or playing with the same toy over and over again, or any of those behaviors, or watching, the wheels spin of a little toy car. Now, if this doesn't harm him or you or get in the way of his life and learning, then you leave the behavior alone. It will be fine. But you can help modify those behaviors that can cause distress to the child, for sure.
I think think again, the key word being them and not you. Them.
True. Yeah, the same goes for mindfulness and behavior change. As a parent, very often we find daily routines and life in general can be super stressful, right? And for the parent, it can be extremely challenging to deal with. Imagine the child is talking to himself all the time or engaging in some repetitive behavior like shaking a magazine or a stick and walking up and down the hallway practically every waking moment. You certainly want to react and react strongly, especially on days when your attention is for some reason focused on the child. There could be other days when you may not even notice that your child is engaging in certain behaviors. It's just, you know, somewhere on the periphery, doesn't bother you. And when you give in to that impulse to tell the child off or take away the offending toy or objects, there is certainly some temporary respite. The behaviors of concern are not there. They don't exist for now. And you feel like you have addressed the issue successfully. But then, hey, the behavior is bound to come back later, if not sooner. You can't change a person entirely. You can't take away certain behaviors or mannerisms entirely. So being a mindful parent would mean giving room to yourself and to the child. All too often, we're placing judgments on ourselves based on what we have been told as children, based on what society expects from us and from our children, or what we have been told we must do in order to be called a good parent.
Yeah, I think that, like, that point cannot be emphasized on enough, because society says, oh, my child must go to XYZ school. And then you say, okay, come on, let me do all that I can to fulfill that expectation. Not that you want him to go to that school, no. But that's what society tells you. That's what your mother-in-law tells you. That's what your mother tells you. That's what, you know, your...
Everybody around you, is all the kids go there.
Everybody goes there. My child has to go there. You do that without even checking in to see if your child is truly ready to go to that school. Will he fit in better somewhere else? Will he even benefit from going there in the first place? Society says your child must be able to read and write by, I don't know, I don't even know what the age is anymore, it's confusing, but let's say X age. And there you go, you put on your helicopter parent hat and you push him and you push him till he can scribble half of what his peers can. All for what?
Yeah.
Who are we pleasing? And why are we doing what we're doing? We kind of let our emotions take over the moment and then we act on our emotions for something that in hindsight is small and inconsequential. Like, you know, I think like you just mentioned, the child and his repetitive behaviors or, you know, maybe your child and his inability to meet milestones. Milestones that society has set for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And in doing that, we move away from the present moment to a space in our minds, a far, far, you know, distant little space in our minds that's telling us that what my child is doing is all wrong, or at least I'm not stressing him out enough, or I'm not influencing him enough, or I'm not putting enough pressure on him to make him do what he must do.
Yeah, yeah.
That is hardly mindful.
Yes.
A variation of this would be to actually accept your child for his strengths and for his weaknesses, and then to go on and explore options that might actually enhance his abilities, enhance his independence, and really help him live that fulfilling life that he deserves to live. And all this comes from being mindful of our own actions, our intentions, and really looking out for them in a very mindful way. And you know, as behavior analysts, we have to say this, just to clarify, we are not in any way saying that your child on the spectrum cannot do certain things because he's autistic. That is not what we are saying.
Yeah, or that you as a parent have to accept certain behaviors of them because of their autism.
No,
right? If the
behavior
requires change because it is of social significance to the child, then by all means, let's mindfully make that change. But it's for you as a parent to determine whether that behavior is really socially significant for the child, or is it socially significant because society says so?
Yeah.
And more importantly, is your child ready for it?
Yeah.
So how can you as a parent be in the present? Enjoy the moment.
Be mindful of your interactions with your child.
Don't react. But watch, objectively watch. Take a moment off if, you know, you have this feeling that it's eating you up and that you're ready to act on an impulse. Breathe. Open the door, step out, maybe sip some water or just walk 10 steps. Who knows? You might change your mind and come back to being in the present.
Absolutely.
Things won't look that bad after all.
I know. And I think as parents, one of the things that, or mantras that we have to keep in mind is, let's make suggestions.
Yeah.
But let's not influence them.
Yes. Yes.
And on that note, we sign off today with a quote. Eckhart Tolle once said, wherever you are, be there totally.
Yeah.
So wherever you are today, listeners, be there, be in that moment, soak it all in.
Yeah. And be well and stay safe.